Good morning, church, and welcome once again. This morning I'd like to remind us that it's very important at this hour that we remain strong in the Lord, and especially in these uncertain times. And so this morning I want to teach on how to be strong and what the Lord is showing me and what he has shown me over the last couple of months, which is not a new message, I don't think, for most of us, but it's something the Lord has been showing me that we need to go back and maybe pick this up again in order to just really stay strong in these uncertain times. And when I mean strong, I'm talking about being strong in our faith, because if we're strong in our faith, we're strong. And if we have no faith, we're very weak, because when we look around in this present world, there is no certainty of anything anymore. There are hearts, you know, the more we listen to the news and we see what this pandemic is doing to the hearts of men, there's more and more fears. People are being filled with all kinds of doubts. And as it continues, these fears only rise and become greater, and it's fears of what the future holds, and fear of lack, and you know, even fear of one another. It's crazy, and we as God's children need to be strong in our faith in the midst of all that's going on. But remember, last week I said that you and I are not of this world, and so we should not be caught up with all of the fears and the anxieties and the uncertainties that the world is facing. And this morning, I want to talk about that and how to stay strong in our faith, even during hard times. And so I want us to open up our Bibles this morning, and let's begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want us to turn or to go into verse 17. Let's read verse 17 and 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says this: "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." In other words, they're passing away. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." And if we look around in the natural right now, we can certainly see what the enemy is doing in our world today. But that not ought to concern you as a child of God. But what concerns you and I is what God is doing. And it said, we just read that while we look at things which are not seen, that's what we're supposed to be doing, because the things that are seen are passing away. They're temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And in order to see what God is doing, we need to look past the natural. We need to see the thing that is not seen. And that's where we're going to see what God is doing. So we know what the devil's doing. We know what's happening in the natural world. That is not him. This little tiny virus has become so big that it's affecting every country. The whole world is being affected by this little virus. And this one little virus has caused such an effect that the whole world has even shut down, so to speak. And this ought to show us more than ever that this world system is really just hanging on a thread. Everything is connected together. But I don't want to talk about that this morning. I don't want to spend time reminding us what's going on in the world, but I want to talk about what's happening in the spirit world, in the kingdom of God. And I know what's happening is it's not being seen with our physical eyes. So it's very easy to miss. But I know one thing for sure. God is moving. God is working. And guess what? God always moves first. He does not play catch up. And I believe with all of my heart that before this virus, this pandemic was released into the world, God, by the Spirit, also released something. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I know exactly what that is. But all I do know for sure is that whatever God has released, it is good. It is for our good. Now, when I say God has released something, what I'm really saying is that God has revealed something. Because all things have already been released through Jesus Christ. But the revelation of all these things has not always been clearly seen by us. But I believe in these last days, God has been raising up preachers and teachers of the righteousness that is of faith and of his abundance of grace, which is sufficient for all of our needs. And these teachings of righteousness and grace, which is by faith, has been slowly removing the veil from our eyes. Because remember, through Jesus, God has already released everything that we need, everything that we are, everything has already been given. But we have to realize it and take it by faith. But the teaching of righteousness and grace has set us free, so to speak, to be able to see it and to believe it. So let's turn over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 11 to 18. If that which was done away was glorious, what was done away? The law. The law. It's speaking of the law here. If that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope. What is our hope? The new covenant, the gospel message, gives us great hope. Why? Because Jesus Christ has now become our righteousness. We've already been forgiven of all of our sins, made holy and blameless by the death of Jesus. This is a gift. This was done by the Father even before we were born. And this is a gift that is given to us that we receive through faith. And this gift that God has given unto us, the provision that his Son has given to us through the cross, is ours right now, here, today. We're not waiting for something. It's already been freely given to us by our Father through his Son, Jesus. And seeing as we have such great hope, we use great plainness of speech. What does plainness of speech mean? Plainness means all-out confidence, boldness of speech, absolute assurance. And the word great means to make much of or to make a big deal of. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is the hope that I have, I am so very confident in, and because of my absolute assurance in this hope that we have in Christ, we speak boldly, making much of this hope, this glory, a great big, big deal. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon our hearts. Nevertheless, when it, what's it? The heart will turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we with open face, in other words, the veil is taken away, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what does this all mean? And what has that got to do with us, where we are today? Well, as we you and I are children of God. We are children of His kingdom. Number one, we have this great hope. What is this great hope? It is the hope of eternal life, and not just when we pass from this body of flesh that we have on the earth, but a hope that should be so confident that it even changes us while we're in this flesh body. And that word hope that is used in the Bible is not the hope that we use in our everyday language, because in the world, the word hope means to most of us that there is a chance. There is a chance of something, whatever you are hoping for, that it will not transpire. But Bible hope is defined differently. It is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. So we have this great hope within us of this eternal life that's already been deposited in us. Eternal life. Everything that Jesus did at the cross, everything that He died and suffered for was already deposited in your spirit. Remember last week I said you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're different than the world. You are born of the Spirit. You are no longer subject under this world system. And you and I have this confident expectation of all good. Even though we might not in the natural be experiencing it right now, we know that it already belongs to us. And through the preaching and the teaching of faith righteousness, that we are righteous by our faith and not by our good works, through the abundance of grace which comes to us, through the revelation of that righteousness, that gift of righteousness, I believe the veil which has hidden us from, has kept us from seeing what God has already given us freely through Christ, is being lifted away. It's being lifted. And now we, with open face, are now able to see Jesus as He really is. And as we see Him as He really is, now we are being transformed and changed into the very image. Because everything Jesus did at the cross was for you and for me. When He hung His head at the cross and said, "It is finished," He was referring to, I see it as the culmination of our finished state in Christ. We are as He is. He never left anything out. He paid the price for every sin. He paid the price so that we can be completely restored and made whole again and have eternal life, not just coursing through us in our hearts, but in every part of our being. And so if we're not seeing this, that means the veil is still over our eyes. We need to take that veil away and see that righteousness does not come through your good works, through your efforts. It comes only by one avenue, and that's through receiving it as a gift, because Jesus Christ Himself paid the price for your righteousness. And when that veil is taken away, now as we behold that glory of what He did for us, we become changed as we look at Him. As He is, the Bible says, so are we in this life, in this world. So it's very important for us, number one, to keep our eyes, our focus on Him, to look beyond what we see in the natural, for He alone is our great hope. There is no hope in this world. So do not let your focus be on what's going on in the world around you. The enemy is using this pandemic to try to get God's people, the church, to take her eyes off of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, at the same time, is using it to get our eyes onto Jesus. The enemy is using it to distance us from one another. Social distancing. But the Spirit is using it to bring the church into a closer unity of the faith. Because it's time, church, to come together in this unity. All of us in Christ are members, one of another, of this body of Christ. But even so, I know that God, this pandemic, which looks so terrible, God is using it for His glory. But the enemy means for evil, God always turns it around and uses it for his glory. But you can be certain of this one thing. If the enemy is doing what he's doing, that tells me he's really afraid. He's pushing up his game. He knows something has happened. He knows exactly what God has revealed to us. You see, it's not that God has released anything new to us. He's revealed something to us. And that comes with the veil being taken away from our eyes. The more we understand this gift of righteousness, the more we receive the abundance of grace, we will reign in the light. We have, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, has been opening up our hearts and our eyes and revealing to us who we really are in Christ. Revelation. And that's what the Lord has revealed. I believe it is a truckload of understanding and revelation that the church has been blinded to for so long. And as we see Jesus as he really is, we will and are right now being transformed. And I know we are in the last days. And I said last week that there's this great move of God that's going to happen. Well, guess what? We're in it. And what ought we must be to be doing as the church today? Not being afraid and looking out at what's going on in the world. We need to be looking at what God is doing in Christ through us. And by our faith, we need to step into that. If you want to be a part of it, it's by faith that you will be a part of that end time move of God. So God is using what's happening in the world today to strengthen us and to bring about his plan and his purposes, which is all good for the church, for you and for I. But even so, it can get really rough out there when we're in this season of uncertainty. And we really don't see anything happening around us right now. You know, it looks like everybody's in the dark and everything is going, I won't say the word, but everything is going bad, wrong. But you know what? Thanks be to God. We need to be thankful every day because he has equipped us with everything that we need to be strong in this hour. And I want to share with you something that I believe, like I say, we should know already and we should already be doing. But I want to encourage us again and I want to just bring it to light because, you know, faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing. And so I want us to turn over to Romans chapter 8. And I want to pick it up in verse 18. And I want to read from verse 18 to 22. You and I need to know how to stay strong at this time. And in verse 18 it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us." We need to see it that way. You know, when we're going through trials and uncertainties, and many of us are at this time, we ought to know that the sufferings of this day today are not even, they're not even worthy to be compared with what God has planned for you, with the glory which is going to be revealed in you. It's not to you, it's in you. Do you understand? God reveals in you. And that's what he's released. He's revealing himself in the hearts of his people. And then it goes on to say in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." So what is this passage of scripture that I just read really telling us? Well, it's telling us that all of, when it uses the word creature, I'm reading from the Old King James, it's actually speaking about creation. And in verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation." What is that? That's hope. A confident, earnest means a confident, a definite expectation. And so even all of creation fell into the what? The bondage of corruption when Adam fell. What is the bondage of corruption? The bondage of corruption is that away. Everything is under this bondage of death, passing away. You're born today, you live, you die. Everything that you have, everything in this world is temporal. It's passing away, including creation. Well, God never created creation to be passing away. I mean, the grass, the Bible tells us the grass comes up today and is green. Tomorrow it's thrown into the oven. You know, it becomes fire food. And everything, and it says all of creation is groaning. And why is creation groaning? It says, because the creature itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, when the children of God are delivered from this bondage of corruption, so too shall creation be delivered. And you know, when we think about the storms on the earth and the earthquakes, and you can just see that the earth is in pain, and it's revolting against all of the corruption. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for what? For the adoption to witness the redemption of our body. You see, there's that war going on. On the inside, you're redeemed. You have eternal life. The Spirit is life because of the righteousness that's been imparted unto you. You have eternal life. Jesus himself lives in you by his Spirit. You are the temple of God. And because we live in this flesh body, which is not redeemed yet, there's such a gap between who we are on the inside and what we see on the outside that it's like we groan and we moan from the inside out to be clothed with this body that is also redeemed. And all of creation is waiting for that glorious day when our bodies will put on incorruption. That's exciting. This is the culmination of all of our hopes. So creation was also made subject to vanity. What does the word vanity mean? It means to no purpose, in vain, unsuccessful. And that's how we feel sometimes living our everyday lives. We think, you get up every day and you do the same thing, and it's never completed because you know tomorrow you got to get up and you got to do the same thing over. And if you don't, guess what? Corruption takes over a lot quicker. So we are struggling to maintain in the natural. And it's so futile. You know, how many times have you thought, oh man, you know, I'm going to clean this room, or I'm going to clean the bathroom, or I'm going to do the dishes, only to start all over again later. And it seems like over and over and over we do these menial things. Why? Because everything is under this bondage of corruption. Everything is passing away. All of creation is under it. And we also know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together with us. So if you and I are in Christ, if we are born of the Spirit, you have already been delivered from this bondage of corruption in your spirit man. It has eternal life. And earlier in this chapter, chapter 8, by the way, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Earlier in this chapter, chapter 8, in verse 2, it says this: for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made you free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? It is this bondage of corruption. Everything's passing away because of sin. And that is what's taking over the world today. But outwardly, our bodies are still under this corruption. But the good news is that the Spirit of life on the inside has delivered us. It's far greater and supersedes this law or this bondage of sin and death. And this law of life by the Spirit, through our faith, can be released into our natural circumstances. It can be released into our physical bodies. Until the day when we arrive, that our bodies will take on incorruption and all of creation will be released from that bondage. But in the meantime, what do? Well, we live by faith. Faith in the life that's on the inside of us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So there's a continual struggle. There's a continual struggle, because in the natural, everything is passing away. But you have the spirit of life on the inside of you, and you are supposed to manifest that life even while you're in the body. Yes, we can sit back and say, well, I don't care. Let's just let the natural take over. That's your choice. But you do have the ability on the inside of you through the spirit of life to bring life into this world. That's why I said last week we must live the kingdom life on the earth, which is life, not death. God wants us to show forth his kingdom life. He wants it to flow through us to this world, to help others, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, to bring life to those around us. That's what Jesus did. He came down from heaven. He had this life on the inside of him, and he shared it. He gave it. He said, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you, as the life flowed out of him to others, bringing healing and wholeness and relief from the bondage of sin and the corruption that sin brings. And so we are called. Jesus himself said, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them. And so there's this battle going on, because we are still in this flesh body and we're living in this corrupt world. But we know on the inside of us, greater is he that's in us. And so there's always this battle of bringing, even though everything's dying, of bringing life, life, life. And this bondage is, this is an opposition that comes at us daily. So we need to be strong. We need to be strong in this fight of faith against this sin and death that's all around us. So what do we do in the meantime until the final culmination, until the great day when we finally get our new bodies, a body that is just like his? Wow. The Bible says that we don't know what we're going to be like, but when we see Jesus, we will be just like him. Isn't that awesome? We're going to have a new body. No more under the bondage of corruption. No more under the law of sin and death. A body that is never going to pass away. A body that is never going to grow sick, be tired, or weak. We can't, how do you know something that you've never had? We have no idea how that is going to be or how that is going to feel when we finally get that new body. Because everything that goes on in this life that causes sorrow and pain is all because of the corruption of the law of sin and death. And when we're finally free from that, I mean, eye has not seen or ear heard how it's going to be when we finally. But in the meantime, you got to understand, everything else is done. You already have the spirit of life. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 as well that the spirit of life within us will quicken our short-lived, perishable, mortal bodies while we're on the earth. So we can live above this corruption that's going on by faith. And it goes on to say, what do we do in the meantime? As we are in the process of being transformed more and more into the image of God. Because that's the end game of God, is that we are predestined. That means our destiny, and there's nothing you can do to stop your destiny, is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, all of us, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Transformed into his image in every way, in power, in holiness, in health, and we're his body. And so there's a process going on right now. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, by looking, taking off the veil, and seeing Jesus as he really is. And it says in verse 25, going back to chapter 8, but if we hope for that we see not. In other words, we don't see this yet. You see, I'm talking about looking beyond what we see in the natural. Then do we with patience wait for it? Patience. What does that word mean? Do we sit back and do nothing? No. Patience in this, in the Bible sense, means to continue on in faith with an expectancy. With an expectancy. Continually speaking out against this spirit of corruption, this death that's at work, because you have the greater one on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. This spirit of life on the inside of you far supersedes and is greater than any death that's going on around you. So in the meantime, we are to walk by faith in what we cannot see. The fact that we cannot see that we've already been redeemed eternally in our hearts, and we already are children of God. We already are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We can't see that in the natural, but it's already a truth in our spirits. And so we continue on in patience. What does patience mean? To be strong in our faith with an expectancy. Verse 26, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our infirmities. The spirit of life on the inside of us helps us. Now, here is what the Lord has been telling me so strongly over the last weeks, that one of the keys to staying very strong against the death that is coming against us, and even more so in this day and age, it says here, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities. The word infirmity means weaknesses. Because we're weak. The flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to give in to this death. You know, the flesh doesn't want to fight. It's like, you know, I'm tired and I'm getting old and I, you know, we want to just sit down and just give in to it. But the Spirit helps our infirmities, our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But he, the Spirit of life itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for us, for the saints, in accordance with God's will. What is God's will concerning you? Concerning all of his children. Verse 29. For he whom did foreknow, did he foreknow you? Yes, before you were born, he knew you. He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, your destiny is to be just like Jesus, so that Jesus might become the firstborn among many brethren. So that's your destiny. In every way, to be like Christ. And you and I today are living in a time that I believe, if we want to be victorious and continue to shine with the life of Christ and continue to be transformed into his image, even with all the darkness that's around us that's trying to suck us in, if you and I want to live a victorious life above and beyond the corruption and the bondage that this world lives in, we need to pray in the Spirit. Because we just read, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Praying in the Spirit is not optional. The life that God has given us is on the inside of us. The Spirit of life lives in us, the Spirit of Jesus himself. But right now, we need that Spirit of life on the outside. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, Gospel of John, that he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living waters, rivers of life. Not just a trickle of life, but rivers of life. Over the past several months, I really believe the Lord has been showing me that in these uncertain times, we, His children, need to trust more and lean more and more on the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Because honestly, when I say uncertain times, I mean uncertain. And you do not even know what to pray for. You know, when this whole thing first started, I was like, do I pray for the frontline workers? Do I pray for God to touch or to use the scientists to come up with a cure? Do I pray? You know, there were so many areas to pray for. Pray for the people who are losing their jobs. Pray for the people who are losing their minds. And on and on and on. And I didn't know what to pray for or how to pray. I mean, we could have been praying all day. And then it was like the Holy Spirit just said to me, pray in the Spirit. Because He knows what to pray for. It is uncertain times. I don't know what to pray for as I ought. All I know is when the Holy Spirit prays in me, that He's praying exactly according to the will of God. And I know the will of God is good and will bring good and work out for good for all. So you can trust that prayer. But not only can we trust the prayer, we can also know that as we're praying, out of our innermost being is flowing life. And it brings life to whatever it touches, including your life, including your body, your finances. God is supplying all your needs as the Spirit of life is flowing out of you, and it is making sure that there is enough provision for you, your family. There's provision for every need during these dark times. And the life of God gets brighter and brighter as you give yourself to this prayer in the Spirit. You and I need to pray more than ever in the Spirit at these times. And this is how we remain strong in our faith. This is how we keep our focus on what is eternal, on the things that cannot be seen, is to continually pray in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Jude 17, there is only one chapter, and to verse 17 to 21, it says this: But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These who separate themselves, sensual. What does it mean to be sensual? It means to be living by your senses. That's all it means. They have not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What is your most holy faith? Well, your faith comes most holy is this prayer that's coming out of you, this living water. Why? Because it's the Spirit Himself praying. Praying in the Holy Spirit. It seems like we've got such a veil over our eyes. We don't know what we've got. We don't know what God has deposited in us. The Spirit of the living God lives within us, and the life of God is in us. And by faith, we just got to open up our mouths and allow the Holy Spirit to be released into the natural. I don't believe this is optional. Some people say, oh, well, praying in the Spirit is optional. Is it? It's optional if you don't want to have the life flowing that God wants you to have flowing out of you. And there's no reason. We all have the same amount of time in a day. And praying in the Spirit, you can do that doing all kinds of things. Because we can't shut our thoughts off. And we can work and talk and visit at the same time as we work. Why can we not pray in the Spirit? I know that there's so many good things that happens when we begin to pray in the Spirit. Even that removing of the veil, causing you to see more clearly. who Jesus really is, because that's what we need. My people are perishing for a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding and revelation. I've already given you all that you need. It's in you. The kingdom of God is within you. He wants us to live out this kingdom life on the earth. Why? To prove that we truly are his children and that Jesus Christ truly did die for our sins. No wonder the Apostle Paul, when he came before the church of Corinth, he said, I come before you with trembling and fear, and I pretend to know nothing among you. I am not going to speak to you with eloquent words of wisdom, man's wisdom, and I pretend to know only one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I come to you in the demonstration of the power and of the spirit of life within me. And, you know, we can come with a lot of fancy words, but what God wants us to do is to come in the demonstration and in the power of the spirit of life that's on the inside of us. But the church has never really stepped into that. Why? Because we've been so blinded to see who and what we really have. But I believe in these hours, God has released a revelation of who we are in Christ. And he's calling us to go forth, to awake, rise up, and to get out there and to demonstrate this kingdom that's already been placed on the inside of us. But we need to be strong in our faith. We need to know and have that confident hope, that confident expectation. Always, never give up on that. That's what patience is, to continue on. And God has given us his word, which is a word that'll never pass away. It's forever. It's eternal. And when we get that word on the inside of us, we need to continually water it. Water it. Just like in the natural, you need to water a seed in order for it to grow up. Don't give up on the word of God on the inside of you. But speak forth by the Spirit, the life. Water that seed. And don't give up on it until you see the harvest. And I'm not talking about a 30-fold. Let's go for the 100. Let's go over the 100-fold. And so my whole message today is just to encourage us to pray in the Spirit as much as we can. I believe that, I mean, we can say all kinds of things in the natural and speak prayers coming from our minds, but nothing can take the place of prayer in the Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit can pray in a few words what you couldn't pray in a whole day. Plus, we know he's praying exactly where we need it. And you and I don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming at us tomorrow, but the Spirit of God does. And if you want to stand strong in these uncertain times, if you want to carry out and finish your course, so to speak, that we are not ashamed before him at his coming, then begin to pray in the Spirit. And as you do that, the Spirit will begin to lead you. You'll begin to see things happening. The life of that's already on the inside of you is going to start popping up in your finances, in your whole life, in your body. Just stay strong by praying in the Spirit. Because really, in the natural, there is nothing we can do to change the circumstances in which we're in today. But by the Spirit, God has made provision for us to walk through it and be victorious. And it's in time of weakness where we are the strongest. It's in time of lack where we are the fullest. So we need to take this word, heed this word, and pray in the Spirit as much as we can. And I guarantee you, through that, you will see even oppression. If you've been oppressed by what's been going on, I believe you will see even that lifting, first of all. You will feel where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You will sense a new freedom, a freedom from this corruption, from this bondage that the whole world is lying under right now. And it's just what a gift. What a gift. I don't know how I could have possibly come through my own ministry and life without this gift. So I'm encouraging us this morning to pray in the Spirit and remain strong at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.